This is an ABC podcast.
When you think of classic Australian houses, you might have a certain style in your head. Weatherboard, Queenslanders, old Federation brick terraces. But up in Belmont North, there's a group of historic homes that are very unique looking.
I'm turning right into Somerset Street, and as soon as I come around the corner, I can see it.
Hey, I'm Larice Dixon. Today on the Newcastle Hunter Catch-Up, we're unpacking the local history of Nissen Huts.
The front of it is a semicircle shape. It's not square, it's not rectangle, there's no bricks to be seen.
The tin can round houses dotted across Belmont North.
And they're in amongst all these traditional square brick houses. It's fascinating.
Meeting people who grew up there and asking whether these flat pack homes are worth conserving.
Hello. Oh, what? I couldn't have chosen a hotter day, really.
Darlene Cameron was six when she moved onto Somerset Street and into one of the overturned soup can houses.
Yes. So, is this the one you lived in?
No, I lived in the one with the green fence.
So 70 years ago, 50 prefab huts were put in Belmont North, mostly as affordable housing for £10 POMs, British migrants who were offered cheap post-war passage to Australia to build a new life.
All the Irish and Scottish families lived in Harlow Street. And they were all Scottish. And
so they just had different nationalities.
Yeah, different nationalities were definitely in different sections. So we were the English ones here.
Oh my gosh.
And they were the Scottish, and my big sister married a Scottish boy.
From the back?
From the track, down the track.
And so the area became known as the Commonwealth Cottages, or Pommy Town.
We're at the top, you would say at the top of Somerset Street here, looking down the road. Your Nissen Hut would have been on the right-hand side as we come down the street. What do you remember of the street when you were growing up? What did it look like?
Well, a lot of, as we call them, tin cans or half houses in Pommy Town.
Darlene has fond memories of running around the neighbourhood.
You'd play with the kids next door, you'd play with the kids down the street, and you just all run around like crazy.
Was there any traditionally built houses in the street at the time, or do you only remember the tin cans?
Yes, only remember the tin cans. Don't remember any traditional houses until the baker's cousins built one at the back, and we thought they were very rich and posh because they had a square brick house. I was just thinking last night, and they did think that we were poor because we lived in round houses. And I was trying to figure out, as far as I remember, we weren't poor. We weren't flash, but we were just normal. But the people that lived in the square brick houses always wanted to come to Pommy Town because it was fun. There was stuff happening. We had round houses. There was always something going on in Pommy Town.
It was fun. It was intriguing, I guess, for them to come and see not just the house, but how you live, I guess.
Yeah, because it was a really big community, as I said, and that. The Scottish people were always cooking and the Robertses were always fixing cars. I used to make up stories and say the house goes underneath, it's completely round. So
it was a completely round circle and half of it was underneath.
Yeah. We did get teased a bit because you live in a tin can and baked bean can and you must be poor because you live there. But, there's no social media back then or anything, so you just make up stories. You didn't really think about it because it was just home.
That home wasn't exactly built to last, though.
So the huts were built as sort of a temporary measure to house all these new British migrants who were coming to Australia.
Susan Sedgwick is the Director of Museum Operations and Visitor Services at the Museums of History New South Wales. The Nissen Huts are named after Major Peter Nissen, who came up with a design for an easy-to-assemble, portable hut during the First World War.
So the Nissen Huts were designed during the war for use in, a military situation, and the intention was that they could be put up within a day. It's a really simple structure. Apparently you didn't need to have specialist building skills. Some people could even put them up in a couple of hours only. So they were, really cleverly designed with this basic kit and just the idea you could put them up really quickly.
After the World Wars, what were used as barracks or field hospitals became easy, cheap housing for migrants and refugees.
For that reason, I think they were thought of as, that's a great idea. We've got all of this additional people coming into the country. We need to house them in some way.
Over time, these houses were torn down and replaced as families moved on from Pommy Town. By 2008, over half of the roundhouses were gone and several of the ones still standing were in a fairly rundown state.
That was quite typical for some of the houses in the area. I think, you know, they'd been built in the 1950s, so, you know, it was sort of 60 years since they'd been constructed.
It's at about this time that the Museums of History New South Wales stepped in and made the decision to purchase 4 Somerset Street with their Endangered Houses Fund, the house next door to where Darlene grew up.
We were interested in the Nissen Hut because it was quite a departure actually for us. Often we've looked at colonial properties and that's sort of much more of our experience. But with the Nissen Huts, we thought these are at risk as well. These are mid-20th century buildings. Even though in the Belmont North area there were a group of 50 of them that were built at the time, now there's less than 20. So, you know, we could see that I guess they weren't being cared for, and we could see a time where perhaps there might not be any Nissen huts left.
Locals were divided. The prefab huts were seen as devaluing the land. They were cold in the winter, hot in the summer, and not worth conserving. Nevertheless, Susan and the Museums of History New South Wales saw the value in conserving the property while renovating it for modern living.
Our intention was really to show that we could take something that was quite run down and hadn't been lived in for a considerable period of time and actually turn it, transform it into a home that people could live in a modern way. Mm. So to create a really modern home and show that here you are, here's a Nissen Hut. Look what it was like before, here it is now, and in a way we've done that, we've achieved that.
Last year, the property went back on the market and sold for a whopping $735,000.
We don't want it to be a museum there. Our intention is actually for it to be sold as it was to a nice young couple who are living in it and, you know, for them to have memories and for this to be their family home. And I'd love to see more of that. So rather than the Nissen huts being demolished or restored in a way that's not sympathetic to the history and where you lose that semicircular curved shape, I'd like to see that that's retained and people are, you know, perhaps being a bit more experimental with keeping the heritage elements and doing something new that meets their needs for contemporary living.
For Susan, these houses might not be the prettiest version of a heritage building, but they're important because they tell a story of local history.
These huts, you know, they're 70 years old now. They hark back to another time and tell a really important story about the people who lived in these huts and, you know, their experience as migrants coming to Australia and also that community that then formed, you know, the so-called, I think it was known affectionately as Pommytown or the Commonwealth Cottages of that grouping of the Belmont North huts. And it's telling those stories of those people and of that local area. And I think if you lose all of those houses and they all turn into sort of McMansions or, you know, something more modern, then that whole history, that whole heritage of that area is gone. And I think that's actually, to my mind, is a sad loss for that community.
My German friend's grandmother used to live down in the main, what we would call the main street, Arlington. I can see her hut from here, still there, and we would climb her mulberry tree and eat all her mulberries. So very different, like, nationalities in the different sections.
Darlene's old house is long gone. She actually hadn't been back to Belmont North until the weekend before I spoke to her. Her and her mum moved out of the area when she was 13.
I do know that when my mum sold it, she sold it for $5,000. So, and that was an extraordinary amount of money then, when she sold it when I was 13, you know, 12, 13.
But she's glad to see there are still Nissen huts around and that people want to update them instead of getting rid of them.
Yeah, no, that one looks really nice. Yeah, so it's good to see that they still look nice and they're not your standard, I hate standard cookie cutter plain houses. Yeah. I'm still the same, so maybe that's why growing up here, not everything's got to be knocked down. And, all, you know, at the rate they're doing the houses around just local now. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that house down there. It could be preserved, and I don't know if any of the family members have been out here to see that at all, but, you know, I think it looks great. So I don't know if it's worth 700 grand, but...
The Newcastle Hunter Catch-Up is produced on a Awabakal country. It's presented and produced by me, Larice Dixon. It's produced by Toby Hemmings. Our digital producer is Keely Johnson and social producer is Michael Black. Executive producers are Blythe Moore and Lucia Hill. If you like the pod, give us a review wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back next week with more local stories from around Newcastle and the Hunter Valley.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.